But in order for me to get this message out, you have got to see this in the way that the Lord has given it to me. So be prepared to do a little bit of jumping with me this morning just to get started. So have your Bibles handy and be ready to flip. We're going to start in Romans chapter 1. We're not going to stay here long. Just got to show you this theme throughout these verses of Scripture. The writer here is Paul writing to the Roman church. Romans chapter 1. I'll try to give you time to get to these places. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to thy flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be his saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So notice in that seventh verse, it says, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians in the first chapter. Told you we're going to do some jumping to get started this morning. 1 Corinthians, first chapter. Paul doing the writing to the Corinthian church. Now, Paul wrote to the Corinthian church once, and he wrote to the Corinthian church a second time. So, 1 and 2 Corinthians are both written by Paul to the Corinthian church. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, Paul, doing the writing, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of our God, and Sothenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. To them that are sanctified in Christ, Jesus called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul doing the writing to the church in 2 Corinthians, which is the church at Corinth, he said the exact same thing. If you'll turn with us there for just one moment. 2 Corinthians, first chapter. Told you, to get started this morning, I've got to do this in order to present this theme that the Lord has given me. 2 Corinthians, first chapter, first verse says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. Timothy helped him write this, with all the saints which are in Achaia, grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to turn to the church at Galatia, first chapter of Galatians. And I promise we'll get going here in just a moment. Paul again, doing the writing to the church at Galatia. Most of you all think that Paul wrote a lot of these books, and Paul did do a lot of the writing in these books. Paul was a great author of many of the books of the New Testament. But Paul, again, writing to the church at Galatia, introduces himself. And then what does he say in verse 3? Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, let's turn one more time. We'll stop in just a moment. To the church at Ephesus, first chapter of the book of Ephesians, first verse. We're not going to go very much farther, I promise. First chapter of Ephesians, first verse, Paul doing the writing to the church at Ephesus says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. One more time we're going to do this to the church at Philippi. We're going to be done in just a moment, I promise. I want you to notice the theme. If I haven't emphasized it enough yet, I don't know that I'm going to be able to. We're not going to read the first part, we're just going to read the second verse. Paul doing the writing in the church at Philippi says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this theme carries on to the church at Colossae. It carries on to the church at Thessalonica. Paul, again, doing the writing to the church at Colossae and the church at Thessalonica. Again, we go on to 1 Timothy, and Paul, doing the writing to Timothy, a young preacher, again, introduces himself and he talks about our Father. 2 Timothy does the same thing. Paul introduces himself again, writing to Timothy, and says, our Father. You go over to Philemon, does the same thing. Paul, doing the writing there, one of his pastoral letters there. Again, he introduces the book and he says, our Father. You go on, and it's a reoccurring thing that there is something that connects every single one of these places. I want you to realize this morning that Paul, doing the writing to the majority of these places, understood one key thing. There's no way that many of these people would ever meet. The church at Philippi most likely would never meet anybody from the church at Ephesus. More than likely, the church at Galatia probably would never meet anybody from the church at Thessalonica. Just the ways of traveling, the ways and means of doing that, just barred any way that they might ever meet. But what Paul knew was, is that there was a key thing that kept all of them together. And that was that the blood of Jesus Christ makes us family. And as I was leaving Old Paz the other night and I got in the front seat of the car, this thought came to me, and it was in this family. And Brother Mike Jeanette taught a wonderful lesson a couple Wednesday nights ago. I'm kicking myself now for not recording that. It was a beautifully done lesson, and he titled it, How Well Do You Know Your Family? You see, I believe that Paul, doing this writing, was writing to a bunch of families. You say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? You see, there's a theme today in this world that believes that there's a universal church that goes all over this world. That every church just feeds right into this universal, almost like if you have a cloud computing system with your MacBook or your iPhone or any of those things, everything just dumps into one church. You see, as Missionary Baptists, we believe in separate bodies, or bodies that are independent and autonomous, meaning they are self-governing bodies. They're bodies that are separated one from another. Now, this church is not a body of another church. But I want to contend this morning that there is a greater family all over this world of saved people. Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church, I believe, has and is a church family. I believe that we're a family that loves one another, cares for one another, but I'm also thankful this morning that there's a family that is global all over this world. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians. This is where we're going to try to get our lesson text from this morning. And I want to talk about being in this family. What does it mean to be in the family of God? I want to kind of discuss two points this morning, if the Lord will help us. First being the family of God. How important it is to be in that family. And then if God will help us, I want to discuss being in this family here at Mount Calvary. I believe this is a family, and I believe we should treat it as such. 1 Corinthians 12th chapter, Paul doing the writing, as I said, to the Corinthian church. And he said this about the Corinthian church, and many people will take this and they'll use this to believe that there's a universal church. Paul was not writing to every church when he said this. Paul was writing to the church at Corinth when he made these remarks, and therefore he meant that for that church that was there at Corinth. He didn't say to the churches at Galatia and Philippi and Rome. He said to the church at Corinth, these are the things that I'm writing to you. He wanted them to have this thought or this understanding. Obviously, Paul was writing some things that were taking place in the church at Corinth so that they would better understand maybe some of the issues that they had. I don't believe there are any issues here, but this is just the way that Paul introduced to these things. It says, for as the body is one, hath many members. Talking about the body at Corinth. It says, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Now it says, so also is Christ, being many are one body, so also is Christ. You see, the family of God is made up of many families. There are many families that feed my family. Now, none of you all today, I can make a Gregory. There's just no way that I can take you out here and smack you upside the head and say, now you're a Gregory. You see, inside of me, there's something that makes me a Gregory. There's a bloodline that has traveled down from generation to generation to generation that makes me a Gregory. There's other bloodlines within my family unit, but that is the most prominent in me, I'm sure, is the family traits of the Gregories. Now, most of the time, you look at a bunch of Gregories and you're going to see a few things. You're going to see some people that are all short and they all have a stubborn attitude. That's just traits that you get when you become a Gregory. It's just part of it. Now, you can marry into the Gregory family. You can do other things. But there is no other way to make you a Gregory but by the blood that is within me. I can't be anything else because of what God has allowed me to be. I want to contend something this morning, and it's a very popular belief in the Missionary Baptist Church, and I don't believe it. There's a lot of people that believe that we are adopted into this family. I don't. Jesus told Nicodemus, He said, you must be born again. When you are born into the family of God. There are scriptures that say that we are adopted. But what that says is it is by the Spirit of adoption that we are made into the family of God. I want you to realize something this morning. When God saves your soul, He makes you a child of His. And guess what? You're of that bloodline. You are the family of God. And can't nobody take that away from you. We are not adopted. I was not adopted when God saved my soul. I was born of the blood of God when He saved my soul. That same blood that flowed through His veins now flows in mine. You say, brother, how can that be? Only through the Spirit of God. You remember what Jesus told Nicodemus? He said it was a spiritual thing. He said, how can I enter into my mother's womb a second time? And He said, you can't do it. You cannot do that. But you see what being born into the family of God is? It's a spiritual thing. You know, here today, if you've been saved by the grace of God, there are many things that make you who you are. Not all of us are wealthy. I know I'm not. Not all of us are tall. I'm not. Not all of us are short. Some of you are taller than others. Some of you have brown hair. Some of you have gray hair. Some of you have blonde hair. There are many traits that make up the people that are here today. But if you have been saved by the grace of God, you are a part of the family of God. There's an old song that Bill Gaither used to sing. It says, you will notice that we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're family. And this family is so dear. You see, when I was growing up, I didn't really fit in a lot of places. I had a lot of friends, but I never fit in. You see, the world wanted me to be one way, but God wanted me to be another. You see, the Scripture says that when He saves us, you're going to hear this theme again. Joe and Kathy just experienced it. It talks about changing you from the inside out. The Scriptures talked about the Pharisees over there. It says, why do you try to wash the outside of the cup when the inside of the cup is still filthy? I want you to realize today that you may not tell by looking at me that I'm a part of the family of God. Oh, but something inside of me makes me a family of God. You can't tell by looking at me, but there's something down deep in here that flows in these veins. Told you I didn't fit in anywhere. I never seemed to be able to last in any friend group very long. You see, you get in a certain age, you go into elementary school and you have all these friends. As you get older, everybody has their quirks or their different things they like. You see, I was never athletic, so I couldn't fit in with the jocks. Just didn't matter. It just didn't work. I probably couldn't catch a ball now if you threw it at me. There's a lot of I wasn't very smart, so I wasn't with the brainiacs, so I didn't fit in there. I wasn't one of the partiers, so I didn't fit in there. I wasn't one that wanted to be running around all the time, so I didn't fit in there. But there's one place that I did fit in. When the Lord saved my soul, I fit in somewhere. I became a part of something that was greater than any group that this world can ever come up with. I became a part of the family of God. You see, when the world says we don't fit in, oh, we fit in somewhere. We're a part of the family of God. I'm glad that I fit in there. And it's not because of me. Oh, but it's because of Him. And you know what the best thing about the family of God? Paul, too, in the writing of this Corinthian church, he said, we're not one member. He said, we're many members that make up this body. You know what the best part about that is? It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done, how good you've been or how bad you've been, how rich you are, how poor you are, how big you are, how small you are. If you've been saved by the grace of God, there's a place for you in the family of God. And aren't you glad today that you fit in? You can't get in the family of God unless you've been saved. It's an exclusive group. There's only so many people that are in it. And I want you to know today that people are still being born into this family of God. Seems like every year around Thanksgiving time, I sit down at the table and the family has grown maybe a little bit. Maybe not our family. We're a small family and none of us grandkids have gotten married off yet and had a bunch of kids. So the table's not getting any larger just yet. But someday it will. But I'm glad today that God's family just keeps on expanding. You know, when Paul was doing the writing to the church at Rome and to the church at Corinth, to the church at Philippi, the church at Thessalonica, he was writing to them and he's saying, our Father, this God that we have, He is our Father. He's not just their Father or their Father, but He is our Father. You know the scripture over there that talks about Jesus' prayer or the holy prayer, whatever you want to call it, the Lord's Prayer. It says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. He said, our Father. It's not just for a select group. My dad is here today, and I love him dearly. Been a great father to me in this world. But my heavenly Father has been greater to me than anybody in this world. There's not one person, not one thing that has ever done as much as my Father has done for me. If He had just saved my soul and left me for dead, He had still done it all. He had still done more for me than anybody in this world could ever do. I'm glad this morning that as far as the east is from the west, that He casts our sins. But I'm glad as far as the east is from the west, I've got family that I've never even met. Family in places like Africa and Jamaica. Places all over this United States that I'll never meet. That'll never know me and I'll never know them. But guess what? We're a part of the family of God. You see, these churches, this was years ago. Probably in the ballpark, I know it's been over 1,000 years, probably over 1,500 years ago, that these writings were going out. And the same family that was accounted for that day is the same family that when people are saved, that they are born into. There's a reason that you hear us say brother and sister. It's because that we are. My mother and my father are here. My grandparents are here today as well. They are naturally my family. They are. I look a lot like my mother. You probably would know that we're family based on how we look. Now, I probably act a lot like my granddad, so you could probably tell that I'm his grandson. But you see, by looking around today, if I said Sister Gina to someone who didn't know, they'd think, well, I thought that was your mother. She is my mother, and I love her dearly. But more than that, I love her as my sister in Christ. You see, when she got saved, she became a part of the family of God. And then one day, over on February 1st of 1993, this little boy come out, and he became a child. He started to grow up, and then one day he had to be saved. And guess what? The Lord saved my soul and made me her brother. Now the world today would say, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. But I'm going to say, I'm so glad for my brothers and my sisters in Christ. You see, we may not have much in common. A lot of us here do. We have things in common. I have never met a lot of people from California, but I know there's a little church out there. Maybe we wouldn't have a whole lot in common, but there's one thing that makes us common, and that's the blood of Jesus. You see, we have more in common here today than most people have all over this world. There's people that are claiming to be a part of something that they're not a part of. I'm glad this morning that I'm a part of this. Amen. There's nothing like being a part of the family of God. I went to a fellowship church up in Indianapolis a few weeks ago. Never been in the place. But you walk in, you know what the scripture says? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. Our spirit bears witness with their spirit or His spirit that we are the children of God. Meaning, He's our Father, we're the children. Guess what happens? You walk into a place where God's people are. You may not know them, not one of them from Adam, but I guarantee you this. You get to talking to those people about salvation, and they know exactly what you're talking about because they're brothers and sisters, they're joint heirs just as much as you are. Aren't you glad that you can walk into a room full of people that you don't know and they be saved by the grace of God and you feel a kindred spirit with those people, that they're something that you are? There's a lot of people I don't have things in common with. But I tell you what, when we've got that in common, we've got more in common than anything in this world. That's the family of God. You can be a part of the family of God without being a member of the Lord's church. A lot of people I know have been saved and they've never united with a church. They're still our brothers and our sisters. There's a universal family of God that goes all over this world. It does. It goes from as far as I can go that way to as far as I can go that way. It's all over the place. It's a global thing. But there's a family that people can't be a part of until they've been saved and they unite with a certain family. Now there's a group of people up at Western that are in the same program that I am. And we get together every now and then and we study and we work on projects together. Now, I wouldn't consider them my family. They're a part of a group that I'm a part of. We work together, but I wouldn't consider them my family. They're good friends. They're good neighbors, and I'm thankful for them. But they're not a part of that family. They're a part of my family. I'm also, and I told you about this a few weeks ago on a Sunday night, I believe, was preaching about church membership and how important that church membership is. I'm a member of quite a few different organizations. I'm a member of the Southern Kentucky Association of Paralegals, which that's actually applicable to the profession that I'm pursuing. I told you also that I'm a member of the American Middle School Language Arts Association. And guess what? I checked my bank account and they just took out more membership dues. So I called and I canceled that. I'm not even a language arts student or educator anymore. But they still think that I'm a member of their group. Brothers and sisters, you can be a member of every group in this world, but there's something that's worth being a member of, and that's the Lord's church. I'm a member of a lot of civic organizations, and I like being a member of those things. I like meeting those people. There's a lot of good people in those groups. But the greatest organization that you can be a member of is the Lord's church. It's the greatest institution on this side of eternity. There is nothing like being a member of God's church. There's nothing like being a member with people who have been saved by the grace of God that share the same thing that you do. My earthly family I'm close with. A lot of my family has united with this church. Thankful for that. But there's a whole lot of my family, number one, have not been saved, and number two, are not members of the Lord's church. They might be saved, but they're not a member of a church anywhere. Now I want to make a disclaimer before I say this. Mount Calvary is so blessed
to have the people that attend this church that we do. There are many people here that attend this church that are not members of this body. They're not members physically here at Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. But they are faithful to us, and I'll be honest with you, I count them among Mount Calvary's family. I count them among those that we love dearly, that we associate with, that we count as being a part of us. And I believe those that attend this church that are that way, that have not moved their membership here, I believe they've been saved by the grace of God. I've heard many of their testimonies. Now, I know they're members of churches elsewhere where they hold scriptural baptism through their membership. I believe that. They're members of a family there. They're also satellite, I'll call them, members of this. They're not officially members of this church. But you see, Mount Calvary is a family. You see, and in this family, we take care of one another. You see, a church family is something I believe that every saved person needs. They need people that care about them, that love them. When Paul was writing to this church at Corinth, he said, "This body has many members." In the 15th verse, he says, "If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body?" You see, it takes every member of the church pulling their part for the church to succeed. It does. You see, this church here at Mount Calvary is blessed with a lot of good members that take active part in its services and its worship and taking care of the building and teaching classes. We are so blessed with people who take up their cross and they bear that cross. But you see, there's one thing about the family of God and the church family here at Mount Calvary is I don't believe there's a jealous bone in any one of their bodies. You see, the best thing about that is that we're all working together to see souls saved and to see the kingdom of God advance. I'm glad this morning that this church here at Mount Calvary is of one mind and one accord. You want to talk about being blessed? That's a blessing. A church should be, must be, in one mind and one accord. When a family is having perfect harmony, and I'll say this about families, sometimes families don't always get along. Sometimes they disagree. Sometimes they hurt and have heartaches. But you know what a family does? They forgive one another. They love one another. Even in the bad times, they care for one another. I don't always like my sister too well. And I don't always like my cousins very much. But I still love them. I still care about them. I still want them to better themselves. You know what I do? Most of the time I just let things go. You know what the best thing about this family here at Mount Calvary is? Is that we're all saved. In order to be a member of this body, you have got to be saved. It's an exclusive membership. It's a membership that takes place when people have been regenerated, they unite themselves with this body, and are baptized at the hands of this body if they have never been baptized. What a thought that is. It's an exclusive membership. It's a beautiful thing. You can be a member of a lot of civic organizations and they don't give a flip about what you are or what you've done. See, what we're asking when people unite with this church is that you be saved so that you can help us carry on the work that we have been given to do. 19th verse of this chapter says, "And if they were all one member, where were the body? It would be miserable if we were all one member." You see, the thing is about a church has many different things that it needs. It's got to have a pastor. Not all of you can be the pastor. Just the facts. You can't all be the pastor. Somebody's got a pastor. There's got to be, in most churches, there needs to be a song leader. We're blessed around here to have people that can lead singing. Brother Colin does an excellent job of leading our singing. Does a wonderful job of stepping up and taking part as that. Got wonderful piano players here at the church. They all have their role. I'm thankful that God has blessed Mount Calvary with that. We've got excellent Sunday school teachers that love God, that study the Word, and that know what they're talking about so that they can continue to edify those that come and study with us. They're needed. Every person in the body, no matter how much money you have, how little you have, how much you know or how little you know, we're all needed in the work of God. Got to have a clerk.
Got to have a treasurer.
We're blessed to have those things. Need deacons. We've got deacons. Need people here that will pray. There's something about Mount Calvary that you don't get everywhere else, and that's that people pray for you. I believe with everything that is within me, when one of our members has a hardship or a hard time, I believe that the people around here gather behind them and pray for them and love them and care for them and make sure that they're okay. That's how a church should be. You know, that's how a family is. You know, I don't get to talk, and I don't talk to my parents or my grandparents every day, but I try to keep up with them as much as possible because I want them to know that I care about them. If we never checked in on anybody, well, they wouldn't know that I loved them or cared about them. That's one thing about this church that I love so much. We're not just here on Sunday mornings, leave and say, well, see them next Sunday. A lot of times there's communication from everybody all over the place. They're staying in fellowship. They're staying in contact. You see, in this family, we love one another. We take care of one another. We love one another. 26th verse. I'm going to try to close here in just a few moments. It says, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member, he be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. You know, as families, we have our good times, and we have our bad times. There have been times in our family when things haven't always gone smoothly. We've not always gotten along. Sometimes holidays were a little tense. Getting together was a little scary. You didn't know what somebody was going to say to set the other one off. Families are like that. If you're going to sit here today and tell me your family's perfect, I'm going to call you a liar because there's not one family that's perfect. Not one of them. You know the thing about our church is we're not perfect. You got a pastor that's not perfect. Therefore, the body's not perfect. None of us are perfect here. Families have their bad times. They have their good times. When it's a bad time, we struggle together. You see, I wasn't here for the 2 years this church was without a pastor. Didn't even know really anything about this church. But you know what the family of this church did? They got behind each other. They loved each other. They cared for one another. And guess what? They stuck by each other and they're still here. And you know what this family does? Is it welcomes everybody into its arms because they love one another. They love God's people. They love lost people so much that they stuck around so that there'd be a beacon here for this community so that other people could find the Lord. I'm sure there have been times of struggles in this family all the way dating back to 1971 when she was a mission. I'm sure there have been days when people didn't really enjoy coming to church that much. Because something was going wrong in the family. But you know, when we're able to rejoice, those make all the bad times pale in comparison. You know what I believe Mount Calvary's family is able to do? Right now we just lost Brother McGowan and our hearts are broken that we've lost him. It saddens us that the McGowans aren't able to attend anymore. We miss them. We're saddened at his loss. But we're able to rejoice that he's in a better place. He's not with us anymore. Oh, but he's gone to where many friends and many family members have long gone before him. We've lost him here. But you see, Mount Calvary has gained new family members in the last few months and year. The Lord's blessed us with adding to this family. You know the best thing about a church family? You get to be with each other in the good times, the bad times, rejoicing and crying together. Sometimes we have to go through the bad times to get to the good times. I'm so glad that I'm a part of the family of God. But I'm so glad this morning that I'm a part and I'm a family member of Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. I was a member a long time at Pleasant Hill, not necessarily as long as some that have joined us recently. I loved them there. They meant a lot to me. I was a part of that church family. But see, the Lord knew I needed to be a part of this family. And in this family, we're not perfect. We're not always going to get things right. Sometimes we're going to mess things up. I'm going to say stupid things. I'm going to get in trouble. You're going to get in trouble. We're all going to do things that are going to irritate the fire out of one another. You know, your brothers and sisters, when you were growing up, I guarantee you didn't get along all the time. My cousins, they grew up with me. They were more like my brothers than my natural brother. And we got on each other's nerves. But you know what? I wouldn't have traded them for nothing in this world. I loved them. They were like my brothers. We're going to get on each other's nerves. But you know what? We're going to love one another. We're going to forgive one another. We're going to be patient with one another. We're going to serve one another. The Bible tells us to serve our neighbors and our loved ones, to serve your family members, to be there for them. The 25th verse of this chapter says, "But that the members should have the same care one for another." You know, I became the pastor here officially last July. I'd never pastored anywhere before. And I didn't realize that you could have so many emotions for people. You care about them, you love them, you hurt with them, you're sad with them, you lay in bed at 3 o'clock in the morning wondering how everybody's doing. When they're sick, you're sick because they're sick. When they're hurting, you're hurting because they're hurting. I didn't realize you could have so many emotions for different people. But I thought, as I was laying in bed last night at 3 o'clock this morning, thinking about this message and thinking about this family and how privileged I am to be a part of it, I thought, you know, a lot of times when something upsets your mom or your dad, the whole family knows about it. And they pull behind one another when they've lost their family member, their mom or their dad. You pull behind your mom and dad and you scotch them up and you love them and you take care of them. That's what we're supposed to do here at Mount Calvary. Scotch each other up. Love each other. Care for one another. Be here for one another. If it makes me get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to pray for you all, that's fine. But I want you to know from the bottom of my heart, I love this family. I love the family of God. I love my brothers and sisters all across this land. But you see, this family here at Mount Calvary, I love because I get to be here. Part of what Paul was saying was, is you need to take care of the members of the body that you have. You see, I'm a part of this body and I'm able to be here with you all. And I love you all. And I tell people this all the time. I'm not able to be with you all the time, so I can't make sure you're okay all the time. And that bothers me because I want all of you to be okay all of the time. But you know what I can do? I can pray for you. We can pray for one another. Let's continue to pray for one another. Brothers and sisters, let's be thankful that God has added to our little family here at Mount Calvary. And let's pray that God will continue to bless us with people in our family. Let's love them. Let's take care of them. Let's make them our own. May God bless you. It's our prayer in this family. We care for one another. May God bless you while we stand together and while we sing.